Bernadette, come and share this wonderful testimony. This will bless you, John. Now, just before this lady speaks, this is an amazing lady. How many operations have you had?
More than 40.
More than 40 operations. Okay, now listen to this.
There's one I didn't want to have, though, some years ago. And God healed me of that problem last night. And it was really amazing how that happened. You know, we all have heard sermons from time to time, I think, on suddenlies. Well, there was a suddenly last night. And that happened when John was talking, started to talk to Diana last night, to Diane, about the lower back pain. In the afternoon, somebody had a word of knowledge of low back pain. And I stood up, and some people there, they prayed for me. I didn't feel different, but I said, oh, thank you, Lord, that's really good. I got all that prayer in already, you see. It's like going to a garage, isn't it? You get different things done. And so last night, when Diane came up, John asked her just how did that happen? I think he had a word of knowledge, but it applied to me. And he said, did you fall off a horse or something to that extent? And that very instant, it was like a lightning shaft, like, whoop, went to me. I didn't even say, I have faith for that. Or, you know, sometimes people get a word and you say, I'll have that, Lord. Didn't have time for that. Suddenly, the pain in my lower back left. And the orthopedic surgeon a number of times has said, I'd like to take your tailbone out because all these injections that you're getting, and so over the years, you know, it's not doing any good. And I always have had, since more than 40 years now, since one accident with a horse, then the next accident with a horse that left me in a coma, and more accidents, always it was like increase of pain, and nothing could be done. So last night, I'm there, and suddenly I'm free. And you can imagine, perhaps, what it would be like, and I think, is this because now I'm sitting on a soft chair and this is comfortable? How would it be if I sort of tilt backwards, you know, that I couldn't ever do? Or I've been trying to do some like what looks like breakdancing on my kitchen floor last night because these people, they just seem to be able to turn around on their tailbone. And so no pain, no pain in driving, no pain in sitting. I praise the Lord for that. Thank you, John, for the word of knowledge.
Isn't that great? Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen? Why don't we give him thanks? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's encouraging when you hear testimonies like that. God wants to do it again and again, doesn't he? Amen? So it's really, really exciting. Thank you, Jesus. Turn, please, in your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 6. Just recapping a little bit, for the sake of those that weren't here yesterday, I think for me, one of the keys that I'm getting out of this conference is it's very important what you say. Words are important. That we speak according to the authority which Jesus has already given to us. Okay? So we are commanded to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We do not ask God to heal them. He's given us the mandate, the authority to speak the word, to declare the truth of the will, the purpose of God for humanity. And so we declare it. In the name of Jesus, rise and be healed. What I've got, I give to you. And so, I tell you, If you've been used to praying and asking God to heal people for numbers of years, you stop and listen to your own prayers, because it's not easy just to change like that. We get into habits of praying, and you know, we can just pray by habit. And we get into that situation where if nothing happens, it's kind of, well, it's not God's will or it's not God's time. We've got to eliminate those kind of negativities. It is not right for us to put the responsibility back onto God. He came to show us the way. He imparted to us the power and authority so that we could do it. And the whole teaching of Scripture is that Jesus demonstrating, teaching, commissioning, sending. I love it. It was read yesterday about Mark 16. You know, it says after the Lord went back to heaven, it says, and they, that was those unbelieving, hard-hearted disciples, most likely totally disillusioned because they couldn't understand all what was happening, said they went forth. They made a decision. They went forth. And then it says, and the Lord went with them. We like to be so spiritual. Oh, we are going with the Lord. But God says, you go. You take the lead. You make the decisions. I'm with you. They went forth. He went with them. What did it say? Confirming the word, their word, with signs following. Amen. God wants to confirm your word. There is a scripture somewhere that says he confirms the words of his servants. As this truth gets into our heart a whole lot more, I believe that we will be motivated to step out in faith to say and do things that we've never said and done before. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, I just want to read something here from verse 53 to 56. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. They ran. When they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. They ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Try and picture that situation. Another translation says, when they had knowledge of him, when they recognized him, something stirred on the inside that, for want of a better expression, provoked them to action. Something so stirred inside of them that they knew that if only they could get the sick people to where he was, something good would happen for them. And so it says they ran. Goodness. Where would we be in the light of this most likely right now? Well, I need to just take some time and pray about this to see if I feel led. Isn't that what we're like? You know, men and women full of faith, as cautious as can be. Because we don't want to get egg on our face. All right, tastes all right. Anyway. As I said yesterday, in 48 years of being involved in Christian ministry, all the greatest happenings that I have witnessed over those years have always been as a result of a word of knowledge, of the Holy Spirit saying something to do something which I would never have thought of doing. And it's like, oh, Step out. We've also got to break out of the mindset that these things can only happen in church. On one of my earlier trips to Italy, I was sitting around a meal table in a pastor's home. We'd invited a whole lot of friends to come for lunch. As I'm sitting there eating my lunch, the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to get out of your chair, walk down to the other end of the table, put your hands on that lady down there who I never met before, and release her. So, is this you, God? Is this me? What did I have for breakfast, you know? Don't tell me you don't go through those battles. So I'm sitting there and I think, and I felt the Holy Spirit said, go and put your hands on that lady's head. So I put my knife and fork down and pulled my chair back, got up, nobody knew, I'm walking around the end of the table, and I just come up behind this lady eating her lunch and I put my hands on her head and I just said, in the name of Jesus, I release you. I had no idea who she was, where she came from. Afterwards, I discovered that that woman had got out of bed from 4 years of depression to come to that lunch. She had been so depressed, she had to fight to get out of bed to even go to the toilet. She was instantly healed that moment. When I went back to Italy just a couple of months ago, I met that lady, beaming, radiant for Jesus. She's never been depressed since. See, there's always somebody waiting on the other side of our obedience. Now, I didn't organize that. I'm sitting there eating my lunch. I'm switched off. I'm not in a meeting. Holy Spirit says, go and put your hands on that person's head. You see, you just don't know what can happen, what doors can open. I was in Port Moresby in Papua New Guinea. And I was waiting. I was in this church. I'd never preached in this church before. I was just waiting for the service to start. I'm sitting at the front and I'm just looking at people coming. And I noticed a lady walked in through the side door of the church who I'd never met, but I just knew who she was. And the Holy Spirit just said to me, that lady has a wounded spirit. She has been wounded in the house of her friends. She's been wounded by the criticisms of these people. He said, today, I want you to set her free. And while you're about it, change your message. You know, preachers are in trouble when they hear God tell you to change your message. He said, I've heard it all before. So many times we preachers think we're teaching God. So what do you do 5 minutes before the meeting starts? God's telling you to change your message. And I was like, I'm sick of it. I've heard it all before. So I did. And when I got up to speak, I just introduced myself and then I asked this lady to stand up. And she was right back in the church, so she stood up and I just told her what the Holy Spirit had said to me. And I just pointed her and I said, sister, today I set you free from that wounded spirit. I told the church how she got the wounded spirit, how that the people had criticized this woman. And then I went on and preached a message about the love of God. At the end of that message, the church leadership came to me and said, thank you very much. For the past 2 years, the leadership of this church has been praying for God to send somebody here to preach that message. Because we knew we did not have the authority to preach it. That woman was instantly healed. Never touched her. I went away ministering in other parts of Papua New Guinea for about 3 weeks. And I came back to Port Moresby, and this woman's husband, who was not there when this happened, a very serious kind of unemotional fella, he's waiting for me. And he rushes up to me and he throws his arms around me and he hugs me and he's saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, brother." I said, "What are you going on about?" He said, "Thank you, brother, I got a new wife." Anyone want a new wife this morning? He said, "I have never lived so close to a miracle in all of my life." And then he told me the story. He said, 3 years ago, God clearly spoke to me to resign pastoring this church and to move to another part of Papua New Guinea. But he said, I couldn't obey God because of my wife's sickness. I didn't know what was wrong with her. She had been prayed for by numbers of visiting ministry, and nothing happened. But he said, "Now, I've got a new wife. And I'm telling you, this Sunday I'm standing in my church and I'm announcing my resignation. Wow. I'm going to obey God." And he did. He moved away up into New Britain province, and he pioneered a new church which I went and preached in for him. 4 years later, some of you will remember that the island of Bougainville was in war for 9 years. And a peace treaty was signed between Australia, New Zealand, New Guinea to break this thing. Once the peace treaty was signed, the ministers on Bougainville Island contacted this woman's husband and said, "Do you know a healing ministry that can come and bring healing to the churches of this island?" He said, "I know one, all right, because I've lived close to a miracle from this man." And so he phoned me, and the result was that I led the first missionary team into Bougainville after the war. And we saw God bring about reconciliation and healing to over 100 pastors, their wives, church leaders, who were all at odds with one another because the situation there was such that nobody knew whose side their next door neighbor was on. There were 6 or 7 major issues that contributed to all the war that was there. And it was just quite an eye-opener to go in, and you just saw the nurses' home burnt down, the hospitals burnt, the whole row of new ambulances all burnt out. You go to a street, there's a street sign, every house in the street burnt to the ground. And people were hurting. And in one of the meetings, one of our young team came to me and he said, "God's given me a word of knowledge that these pastors need to ask forgiveness one of another." And so we spoke that out, and in the next few minutes, we saw these more than 100 Christian leaders weeping in one another's arms, asking forgiveness. And I tell you, I've never experienced it. Very primitive church, between the pulpit and the front row, when it rained, a stream ran through. The floor was gravel. But I tell you what, all over this gravel floor were huge puddles of tears. Huge puddles of tears. From the weeping and the reconciliation that took place. One morning, a pastor and his wife walked into the church, into the conference. I'll just tell you this. I've never seen this before or since. When the leaders got reconciled with one another, even though it was a pastor's conference, from the very next meeting, God sovereignly drew backsliders from all around that area into the pastor's conference, and every one of them came back to Jesus. One morning, the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to minister to this pastor and his wife. So we brought them out the front and we put them in a chair. And the team began to prophetically minister into their lives. And this couple just wept and wept and wept. I mean, it wasn't just ordinary weeping. It was deep, heart-wrenching sobs. And so I said to them, why are you crying like this? And it, the husband, the pastor, pulled this piece of paper out of his pocket and he handed it to me. He said, my wife and I have been so discouraged that this morning we sat at home and we wrote down 5 things that God was going to have to speak to us about if he wanted us to continue in ministry. And he said, every one of those 5 questions have been accurately answered through prophetic ministry here today. Their ministry was salvaged and they went on to grow a large church. There's always somebody waiting on the other side of your obedience. A few years later, the Holy Spirit, many of you have heard these stories, but I just feel to share this morning. The Holy Spirit said to me, Rodney, you have been traveling around the world, exercising spiritual gifts, giving words of knowledge to people, haven't you? I said, yes. He said, half the time you don't know what you're doing, do you? He talks to me like that. So it's no use arguing with God. You just say, yes, Lord. He said, I want you to know that every time you step out in obedience to me, exercising spiritual gifts, you are untying my hands to set your future up for you. And the next thing, it was like God just opened my mind and I had a revelation I just saw, and he showed me words of knowledge I've given in this country, and he showed me where it took me to. And in some cases, a word of knowledge in this country started a domino effect that went from country to country to country around the world. And I saw all this. And he included this woman at Port Moresby with the wounded spirit, and showed me it was because of that that I had the privilege to go into Bougainville 4 years later and to minister that healing into that war-torn island. You see, folks, we have got to learn to get beyond a meeting as a standalone thing. Anything the Holy Spirit does here today is just the beginning. It doesn't finish when we walk through that door for a cup of tea. Yeah. What is of the Spirit is eternal. It continues on. You see, and when you and I are ministering by the Spirit and bringing it into this healing realm, the Holy Spirit will open door after door after door for us if we can learn to step out and do what he's asking us to do. He will set your future up for you. But it's not just about you. It's about setting up other people's futures for you, for them, so that they can rise up out of whatever it is God sent you there to minister into their lives, so they can fulfill a purpose in God. That depressed woman in Italy, how could she fulfill her destiny in God? Locked up in bed for 4 years because her whole world's closed in on her. And all it took was one simple act of obedience at a place you didn't expect it to happen.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
That experience with God has changed a whole lot about how I think of how Christian ministry operates. Because since that time, God has taken me around the world. And sometimes you just, I mean, this is the wonderful thing about the voice of God. You don't know what He's going to say to you next. Hands up those who knows what God's going to say to you next. So we're all on level footing here right now, and we don't know if in the next moment of this meeting, the Holy Spirit's going to drop something into your spirit that will change the course of the rest of your life. And because it's God, it'll set your future, because God's for your future. Amen? And so we've got to recognize the Jesus factor. When they recognized Jesus, when they had knowledge that it was Jesus, something within them responded, and it says they ran. They were so convinced that this Jesus would honor their faith if they brought the sick to Him, that He would touch them. And what does it say here in the Scripture? Wherever He entered, into villages, this is verse 56, cities or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged Him that they might just touch the hem of His garment, and as many as touched Him were made well. Now, here's a thought just comes to me. It was the people who ran that gave them the opportunity and put them into a position where they could touch Him. That's our job. Our job is to so recognize what Jesus is saying and doing in our lives that we will be so quick to respond. They ran because they knew if they could bring these needy people to Jesus, Jesus would heal them. That's the kind of knowledge, recognizing faith that God wants us to have with Jesus. Does He have that effect upon us? Or are we still praying about it? Huh? I believe that divine healing is a key to the growth of the Christian church. So many things happen. People get healed. Amen? So many things happen. I've seen people, scores of people come to Jesus when somebody gets healed. My introduction into this kind of ministry was as an 18-year-old as a result of seeing a 2-year-old boy down in a place called Foxton instantly healed of a badly deformed club foot. And as a result of that, scores of people came to be healed and to be set free. The amazing thing, to my knowledge, that original family never came to Christ. And I experienced being in meetings where the power of the Lord was present to heal, where people just got healed while the preaching was going on. Some of you heard this story, but it was a real lesson to me. One night in this packed meeting, here's me trying to get all spiritual and pressing into God, and about this far in front of my face is about a 3-year-old girl over the shoulder of her father, and she's as cross-eyed as can be, and she's got a runny nose. She's about this far from my face when I'm trying to worship the Lord. And every time I open my eyes, it's... And this just became so distracting. And I was starting to get a bit stirred up because, you know, things are happening and you've got this about this far from your face. And I started to complain. I said, God, this is not fair. I'm trying to worship you and I've got this in my face. So while I'm complaining to God about this, I've got my eyes open, glad I did. Suddenly, these cross eyes just went straight. And she sees straight into my face with two eyes that are no longer crossed. And then it was my turn to repent. Nobody prayed for her. Nobody touched her. As it says in Luke 5:17, the power of the Lord was present to heal. You don't forget those situations, folks. That's a God thing. But we don't always enjoy the preliminaries. God asks you to do something. Often it can be quite contrary to natural thinking. Natural thinking can get in the way. God wants you to do something. And when you obey, you step out. Somehow you are untying God's hands to set your future up for you. And I like that. You know, since I've known that, I've felt very secure about my future. Don't know what it's all about, but I feel secure in that. Because God will never let you down when you're committed to doing what he asks you. Okay? So there's a lot of things that you and I can learn to do to aid the healing ministry. I don't know about you, but that challenges me. When they recognized Jesus, they ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. We go over to Acts chapter 9. No, I got the wrong chapter there. I think it's chapter 14. Chapter 14, sorry. Mind you, Acts chapter 9 is a good chapter to read. Verse 8, we see Paul's in Lystra. A certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Paul learned to be very perceptive when he was preaching. What is perception? Perception is using your spiritual eye gate to see things in the spirit, to enable you to work together with God. I think it's quite sad that we don't get a lot of teaching these days on things like perception and discernment. And as a result, we don't learn to trust these things. But if we can learn to trust our perception and our discernment, that will release God to show you things through the eye gate, with the eye of the Spirit, that you will not normally see. Paul is preaching in a meeting and he's attracted to a certain person in the meeting. He was obviously an invalid, but the scripture said he had never walked. And as Paul is preaching, he perceives that this man is responding. There would have been no outward evidence that this man is responding, but this is a perception of the Spirit. And as he's preaching, he's preaching in such a way that he's feeding this man's faith. He perceived the man's faith is rising, and so he just keeps building on this, building and building, until through perception he discerns that the man's faith level is at a sufficient place where he just simply could stop preaching and say, "Rise, get up and walk." And he did. See, these are areas that I believe we have got to learn to discover. That's why the gifts of the Holy Spirit are so important to be working in our lives. Because when you have revelation, knowledge from the Holy Spirit about a person, about a situation, about circumstances, whatever, because it's the Holy Spirit, it's right. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the keys to the kingdom. Because the gifts of the Holy Spirit bring the revelation of Jesus into situations. Amen? And it's by revelation that we understand kingdom principles. So spiritual gifts are far more important than you and I have given ourselves credit for. And we need to ask ourselves, how good are we at spiritual gifts? Well, that depends on how desirous we are to function in spiritual gifts, because they will not operate through your life if you do not have a strong desire to function in them. Why? Because there will be so many natural things that will block you and stop you from stepping out of your comfort zone or stepping out of your boat. Why? Because we've been taught to be cautious. Don't take risks. Don't make a fool of yourself. Too late. And these gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gifts of faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. Two-thirds of the gifts are directly connected to things that we need to bring about healing to people. I remember at a place here in New Zealand, God gave me a word of knowledge for a lady in the meeting, and as I was about to step up and speak this word of knowledge to her, the Holy Spirit just, I could see flashing in my mind these words, eggshells, eggshells, eggshells. What on earth has eggshells got to do with ministering to a lady? I said, "What's this all about, Holy Spirit?" He said, "That woman is so brittle that if you do not deliver this word that I've given you for her in the most sensitive way possible, you can destroy her, not restore her." And so, I knew I had the right word, but I had to change the way I ministered it. And when I stepped up to this lady and began to give her the word that God had given me for her, as gently, tenderly, sensitively as I possibly could, she still was reduced to a sobbing heap in the meeting. God used it to turn her life around, bring her back into a place where again she could walk with God. Perception. You know, it's one thing, friends, to get the word of the Lord for somebody. It's a totally different thing how you deliver that. And we don't have time to go into that in this conference, but, you know, the challenge of love motivation towards people, if we really want to see people helped of God, then we identify, we sit where they sit. We want to help them come back to wholeness again. And we need to ask the question when we're ministering to people, what if it were you on the receiving end of your word? I think many of us could say that we have seen some ridiculous pronouncements of words of knowledge and the word of the Lord that have destroyed people. Paul perceived. Perception is something that works through the eye gate. Discernment kicks in after you perceive. When you see something with the eye of the Spirit, then you have to make a choice. Discernment is the making of the choice. What do you do with what you see? And so then we discern what to do with what we see. We make a choice, and we go with that. The thing is, we have to learn to trust our discernment. We have to learn that what we are perceiving is right in God, so that we then can discern according to that and carry that through. And here's Paul. It's not a practice set up. He's not gone into that meeting and saying, well, you know, this man will be there today, so this, and the other will happen. He's just going about doing his preaching, but because he's perceptive, because he's discerning, because he's sensitive to where people are at, he picks up spirit to spirit. Ah, here's a man that's responding in faith. And so he makes sure that he just keeps preaching and talking faith, and he's watching in the spirit realm this man's faith level rising. What does that tell us? That if he had stepped in at the moment he first perceived that, the guy may not have been healed. There's a timing with spiritual gifts. Many times you will pick up a word of knowledge during the week for somebody that you're going to be meeting or something like that. I found in my experiences that whenever God gave me a word sometimes of just waiting on the Lord for a meeting, and next thing a picture will come before me of a person. I may not know them and I may know them. It just depends. And the Holy Spirit will say to me, that person will be in the meeting tonight and I want you to tell them this. So I would go off to the meeting full of faith looking for the person and they weren't there. And the devil will be sitting there and say, hey, you got it wrong this time, preacher, didn't you? You thought they were going to be there. Now you're all messed up because your whole focus was on finding this person and not there. But you know what? They always walked in late. I mean, if God tells you they're going to be there, they're going to be there. But they turn up late. That tests your faith. But when that happens, oh, boom, 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 boom. You're looking for another reason. And those people become keys. They unlock something in the spirit realm that enables you, or opens a door for you, or enables you to minister to somebody else as a result of that. See, folks, we have to learn to recognize the voice of God in whatever way he speaks to us, whatever way it comes to us. Don't be so narrow-minded that God can only speak to you through 37 scripture confirmations. Because you know you only know 21. But we can be like that. And don't just, you know, we've got to be open to be perceptive, because the Holy Spirit is creative. And he's, you know, I believe in the purpose of God with healing ministry, spiritual gifts. It's not only the person with the need that God is looking at. He's looking at developing us, so that we will become more flexible, more pliable, more available in his hands. And so he tries to stretch us out of our comfort zones by giving us some, what we would say, curly words at times. You know? And so we step out of our comfort zone and we say, wow, it worked. And we get encouraged. And so God then can start using you in a different realm. And you go on in that realm for a while, and then God will stretch you again by giving you a really curly thing to do. And if you respond to that, you see, you are growing. God is developing us as we minister to others. And that's important that we're not just going around and it's all for the benefit of those who are privileged to have our hands laid upon them. God's working in us at the same time. As we're ministering to others, God's using that to minister back into our lives so that we can learn from these situations and discover just how God really wants to use us more and more. And so we have to learn to be perceptive. What do you see? What are you hearing this afternoon? You're all going to have an opportunity, if you're not all out with John, to put this into practice. To be able to perceive what the Holy Spirit is showing you about other people. And to be able to step out and to minister that in love and to see what God can do. Right? Amen? Or oh me? What's the time? Got to get out of this soon. Have you? You might. You see, the responsibility upon us really is quite enormous. We're not told that anyone else in that gathering perceived what Paul perceived. Don't expect God to give the word to other people when he's wanting to use you. Amen? We should not be looking for a way out. We should be looking for a way in. Perception. Discernment. Using the eye gate. The light of the body is the eye, Jesus said. And you can learn a whole lot about people by just looking eye to eye and allowing perception and discernment to flow through you. It's amazing how you just know the right words, the right illustrations, the right things to minister into that person and to see a God-glorifying result. There's more to us than we think. You and I are God's answers to this generation to make it whole. In the name of Jesus. So what are we learning? What adjustments do we need to make? What excuses do we need to get rid of? That's why we have to have a strong desire for God to use us in this ministry. Because if you don't have a strong desire, you will have natural excuses that will say, I'm too shy. I don't know enough. What will a pastor say? True. I think it's general knowledge that a lot of people in this country have a hang-up with figures of authority. But you see, our calling as a Christian is first a love relationship with Jesus. We should be more concerned about what he says than what other people say and think. I've just come to the conclusion now people are entitled to their opinions. But you're called to obey God. So am I. We need to do what God's asking us to do. And so if he's saying, you go and pray for that person, you go and pray for that person. If you're not sure about them, ask, do you mind if I pray for you? It has been my privilege, again, many of you have heard this, in my travels around the world, God will speak to me and tell me to go and minister to some high government official in a country. And when I've done that, I have never yet been rebuked or rebuffed by one of them. They have all just humbled themselves at my feet and just thank me for bringing the word of the Lord to them. In fact, after that healing that I told you about in Port Moresby, I've been there, I think, about 5 times now. After that trip, whenever the government knew I was in town, they sent in a missionary and asked me if there was a word of the Lord for the government. I was able to talk to them. And I'm not qualified. I'm just Gumboots Charlie from down the farm. I really know my cheese. Yes. Over our back fence is Capity cheese. So I just want you to hear my heart today, folks. This conference is more about just coming and getting a whole lot of healing knowledge. It's about connecting with God the Holy Spirit, who has a whole variety of creative ways by which he wants to use us to bring healing and wholeness into other people. And we have to learn to be sensitive to God, to recognize his voice, because he says what he means. He means what he says. And whatever he says to you for somebody else is exactly what they need at this point in their lives. And you and I are just the messenger, the ambassador, speaking and acting on behalf of the King of the Kingdom we represent. And so we're able to go and to deliver that word. Amen. Being sensitive. I'll finish with this. I was up in Plainsboro, New Jersey, in America. Been running a school there for a few days and came to the last day. It was a Sunday morning, just public worship. And the people in the church had been having a wonderful time of getting released in the gifts of the Spirit. And this couple from Africa came into the church that were known by nobody. They came into the church and sat down. And the pastor of the church, a good lady, allowed the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit began to flow in the meeting, and then they began to focus in on this couple who began to cry. And the more they cried, the more specific the prophetic words came, until they got a prophetic word that told them their marriage was on the rocks and they desperately needed help. At that point, they stood up and asked to address the whole church. And they said, "We came here today because we knew nobody knew us. But our marriage is such a mess that as Christians we said, we will give God one more chance. If he doesn't speak to us today, we are separating." When that prophecy came out about their marriage on the rocks, I'm starting to cringe, you know. Is this edification, exhortation, and comfort? You see, when people get desperate, God gives answers. We had no idea, no way, naturally, of knowing the situation these people were in. But just like that pastor and his wife in Bougainville, here's a couple coming into church with desperate needs, telling nobody, and the Holy Spirit gifts. Now they got a healing of their marriage, healing of their lives. They desperately needed that healing. You see, you and I don't know that the next person God asks us to minister to, you might be salvaging their lives from total disaster. On the positive side, well, that's positive too, but you don't know that the next person that God leads you to minister to could be the next Billy Graham. Who knows what's going to come out of Bernadette's healing? What a testimony. The horses have had a ban on her for years. You see, when the word of the Lord comes, it brings recognition, it brings knowledge, it brings perception, it brings discernment, it brings faith. It brings healing. It brings answers. It brings connection between God and humanity. And you and I are the intermediaries. We are God's interpreters. Because many of these people are not hearing from God. That's why the problems exist and so on. But you and I are supposed to be people that are hearing from God. And we have that ear. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And we need to learn to respond to that so that we can sensitively and lovingly step out and bring healing and wholeness to people, because we're the ones that's in touch with the living God. Right? What a privilege. God, help us. Soften our hearts, Lord. No, there's something else that gets in the way of all of this. God, deal with our pride. Deal with our pride, Lord, in such a way that it's not going to get in the way. Deliver us from the fear of what other people might say or think if we step out and obey you. Deliver us from fear, God, because fear is not faith. The answer to fear, of course, is love. Perfect love casts out fear. And if we're available to Jesus, he will use whoever is available. That's true. Why? Because he said himself, the laborers are few. Plenty of people with bright ideas, there's very few Christians who are willing to obey God. And we need to be that people, because we carry the greatest message that this world will ever know. Thank you.